This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. يا رفيق الدرب هيا نسلك النهج السوية في سبيل الله نمضي نقتفي فيه النبي نبعث الحب أريجا فائح العطر شديا نملأ الآفاق نورا وبهاء سرمديا يا رفيق الدرب هيا نسلك النهج السوية في سبيل الله نمضي نقتفي فيه النبي نبعث الحب أريجا فائح العطر شديا نملأ الآفاق نورا وبهاء سرمديا وإخاء صادقا عذبا نقيا أريحيا يا رفيق الدرب هيا خذ يميني يا أخيا هيا يا رفيق الدرب.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. We have a very important topic and very interesting topic to speak about today. There are two topics that people always like. One of which is the one that we have, which is marriage, and the other one is jinn. So maybe we can someday have jinn marriage. Maybe we keep everybody awake. So these are the topics that are very interesting, as at the same time it's very important. A lot of people don't realize, or maybe some people do, in the United States, approximately the average or the percentage, according to statistics, divorce rate in the United States is 46%. That's for everybody, non-Muslims, and maybe Muslims also. Not 46, but that's with everybody together, 46%. That's a pretty large percentage for any country, and actually it's one of the, for any country. But amongst Muslims in the United States of America, there have been some actually statistics that have been compiled, I think mainly in the, I don't know, in the big cities and so forth. Some of the organizations have compiled it. They've come up with around 33 to 36%. 33 to 36% amongst Muslims. And it differs according to the different ethnicities and different areas. But in general, that's a very, very large percentage to have. And so what is the cause of it? And also, what is the solution? A person who grows up in the United States with the surrounding environment is generally affected by the influences of the culture. And it is very difficult when a person is not married, when a person is not married in this society, and he grows up in this society, where in Islam we are ordered to lower our gaze. We as Muslims are ordered to lower our gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believers to lower their gaze and to protect their private part. In Islam, we are ordered to lower our gaze. But in this society, women are used to sell products. So they want you to not lower your gaze. And the whole society is based on a materialistic society where they're trying to sell things. And the biggest sell, the biggest thing that they have to attract people is they want you to look at the woman. So you have you have so many things that are against you. At the same time, it is not a taboo. It is not a problem at all. In the high schools and in the colleges to have relationships. That in itself is a norm. That in itself is a norm. Before, in the United States itself, it used to be looked down upon. That you get married or you have any relationship before marriage. But now, you are looked at as very weird. If you are in high school and people make fun of you if you don't have a girlfriend. If you don't have a boyfriend. And now it's even worse. Boys have boyfriends and girls have girlfriends now. So that's even worse. So there's a lot of pressure in the society. When we are posed with the question, should we get married or not? The majority of the times, majority of what has happened, what's happened, is that our daughters and sons, they already have somebody in mind. And they've been together maybe for a while sometimes. Or they've been communicating with each other. And communication nowadays is very easy. You might think your children, your daughters and sons are asleep. And then you wake up in the morning, you see their eyes are all red. And they haven't been sleeping, but it's been quiet in there. And you think that they're sleeping. There's no TV in their room, or maybe it's off. But you know what? They might have their cell phones with them. And you don't hear them talking. So they must be sleeping. No, they have what's called text messaging. And maybe your children, they're texting each other the whole night with you even realizing it. And they can set their phones to vibrate mode and it shakes under their pillow. And then, the alarm goes off. They would turn it off and they won't care when it's time for Fajr. But when that text message comes, they're waking up. They're waking up. So the thing is, in this society, you have a lot of problems, a lot of peer pressure on the youth. And they might come forward, and they might want to get married. Should you get married? I want to get married. And they might come even like almost some people come during high school. And sometimes a little bit after high school. And you're thinking, where did you learn all this stuff? Right? Of course, you want them to complete their education. And it's difficult for them. They're thinking, mommy doesn't understand what's going on in the society. And so you have this conflict. You have this problem. And it starts off, of course, from the very beginning of providing them with the Islamic environment and putting them in the right places to learn their morals and manners. Now, if you're going to toss them in places and put them in places and tell them not to get wet. You know, it's very, very rare that a person can hold on to his deen except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had mercy upon. And so, as a result of this, you have a very high divorce rate. Why? Because Muslims are behaving just like the non-Muslims. So that 33% or 36%, it shows that amongst the Muslim communities, in some communities there's more or less in terms of percentage of divorce. And sometimes they want to, and in Islam, dating comes after marriage. But in society, that's not acceptable. And you know, you get married so you love each other, but no, they love each other, and once they get married, then it's over. It's the end. I mean, that's when it stops. And that's why the marriages don't last that long, because you have so much of this. And so, in this society, now, if your kids come to you, right, and they want to get married, or do we get them married early on, or do they finish, or should they finish school? And what are some of the obstacles that are facing them? First of all, as Muslims, we are ordered to protect our chastity. In fact, the protection of chastity is very important, but at the same time, it's difficult. That's why the reward is also very great. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man dhamina li ma bayna lihyayhi wa fakhidayhi dhamantu lahu al-jannah." Whoever can guarantee me that he can protect between his jaws, in his mouth, in his tongue, if you can protect your tongue, and you can protect your private part, then I will guarantee him Jannah, will guarantee him paradise. So these are two things. And one is more difficult than the other for the different sex, the male and female, for man and woman. For a woman, generally, it's more difficult to protect their tongue. It's more difficult to protect their tongue. Because they're more detailed oriented, and when they like to talk, they are more detailed, and it ends up causing them to talk more. For men, it's very difficult for them to protect their chastity when put in a difficult situation. And so as Muslims, what should we do as Muslims to help, you know, the youth in terms of marriage? Should they get married or should they not get married? First of all, in Islam, marriage, most of us, we know marriage as being sunnah. We always hear that as being the sunnah. What we don't understand is, when we say something is sunnah, of course that's something that's recommended for us to do. But sometimes it becomes obligatory. It's not always sunnah for everybody. And sometimes in certain cases, it's not recommended. In certain cases, it's not recommended. But in general, of course, in Islam, there's no ruhbaniyah, there's no monasticism in Islam, like you have in Christianity. In Christianity, it's against the fitrah. To, you know, what they're doing, the priests and so forth, to say that, you know, marriage is something that's bad, that they don't get married. Pious and righteous people don't get married. And so they don't get married, so they go against the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created humans with. And that's why you hear all this news about them doing things that are worse, with their children molesting them all over. You know, we hear it on the news all the time, because they're going against the fitrah. So marriage in itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Whoever abstains or stays away, avoids my sunnah, whoever stays away, dislikes it, then he's not amongst me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself got married, and he recommended to the companions many times to get married, even to the youth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ya ma'shara shabab, O youth, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj." Whoever is able to, whoever has the means and is able to, then let him get married, because it is more, it will help him to lower his gaze, and it will also, it will protect him and lower his gaze. And if he's not able to, then let him fast. And so, when a person grows up in this society, we see that sometimes the children, sometimes the daughters come forward and they want to ask, they want to get married to such and such person, people, and you don't allow them to get married, and then they run off. Then they run off with whoever that person is. And you don't understand why they have just taken off, why they have run off. The reason is because, well, one of the reasons is because growing up the society, you're influenced a lot by the media and by the culture. And in this society, sometimes little things, cartoons that you watch that you think are innocent, there are messages, there are movies that you think it's innocent. There are messages in it. That when a person grows up watching this, they are affected by it. Their morals are affected by it. And their actions when they grow up become affected by it. Let me give you an example. Do you know the story of Aladdin? Aladdin is a Disney cartoon. In the story, the boy, that peasant boy, he meets a princess who escapes the palace. And they fall in love. And of course, they are not compatible. One is a peasant, the other one is a princess. So how is he going to marry this person? And so of course, the parents are going to disagree. Meaning, you know, the father, the king, is going to disagree. So a lot of times, you have your daughters coming to you, and they're asking and saying things. This person might not even be Muslim, or he might be thinking about Islam only. And your daughters are asking to marry this person already. And then when you disagree, you said, no, it's not permissible, where you can't do that. And what ends up happening? Sometimes she takes off. Because you say no, she takes off. And so she runs off with some guy. And you're wondering, how can my daughter do such a thing? Well, the thing is, look, you just look at this story of Aladdin, just one example, and all the stories repeat himself over and over again a lot about these love stories. It's always the parents disagree, but then the daughter says, you know, I have my own life. And so what they do? They go off on their flying carpet. Right? They go off on their flying carpet. And what ends up happening? They come back. In the end, the moral of the story is, in the end, it's okay if your parents disagree with you. You just go off on your flying carpet. By the time you get back, when you run off, they'll be okay. And in the end, you'll have a happily ever after, or happy wedding, happy life. After that, they're okay with it. Do you see, they don't realize, but people don't realize, this is a cartoon. Little children are watching this. But this is the message. It's telling your daughters, it's okay, just go off on the flying carpet. You come back, you can get married. And you can be together. And so when they get this message, they take off also. And this is not the only movie. Most of the movies, you look at some of the cartoons, the love stories, what ends up happening? Right? The hero can't get with his lover, so they go, and in the end they always have a happy ending. It's okay. All of these things, these messages, you don't realize, it's affecting what's happening amongst the youth, the men, the young men and young women in our community. And so, You have people, first of all, you have to understand, especially when you send them to public schools, they're sitting. They're sitting together with men and women, I mean, boy, young men and young women, at the prime of their adulthood. And in that society also, it's looked down upon you if you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. If you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're considered weird. So there's a lot of peer pressure. And the communication between parents sometimes is not there. And the trust also is not there between the children and the parents. And the connection is also not there. And when they can't trust you, and then when they don't know, they're going to go to somebody else and some other people. And so you have your children coming to you. Sometimes these are just some cases. But sometimes you also have a case where, you know, the brother or the sister is practicing. And a lot of times you have a lot of sisters, you know, who are practicing. And they, of course, also need to get married. But you want to give them the education. You want them to finish college and so forth also. So what do you do? So what do we, as parents, when they come to us? If you let them get married just on a whim, it might not be the right person. And that's why, and it might not be for the right reasons. And if that's the case, sometimes the marriages don't end up being successful. At the same time, you have another problem. You have some parents who force their children to get married to people, whether it's in this country or overseas. And it is for different reasons. So they'll give their children, their daughters, or their sons a choice. You either marry, I'll give you two choices, they'll say. You either marry a cousin, or you marry your cousin. And those are the two choices you have. You either marry your cousin, or your cousin marries you. I mean, there's no choice. Whether they know that person or not, and sometimes you want them to get married because you want to help them out, and so forth. Now, for example, if something like that happens, that comes, of course, from the father's side, from the parent's side. In Islam, it's not permissible to marry anybody off if they don't want it. And that's why during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and complained to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, O Messenger of Allah, my father has married me off to somebody married off to my cousin, to raise his status, without my permission. So sometimes this happens in our communities, where you want your daughter or you want your son to help your nephew or niece overseas so that they can come to America. And so you tell them to get married. So this is a similar situation that happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the father already married her off, and she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain that my father married me off to raise his status. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her the choice. And he said, if you want, we can nullify this marriage. Because he married you off without your permission, without asking you permission first. So if you want, we can nullify it. So the aqd, the marriage contract, was sahih. That means if nothing was done, it would have been sahih, even without her permission. But in order to have that continue, that's still, it has to have the approval. Otherwise it can be nullified by the woman, the daughter. And so that's why the Prophet gave her permission. But then at the same time, she said, O Messenger of Allah, I actually want to be with my cousin. I don't mind. I only came here to ask you this, to let these fathers know, to let these men know that they don't have a hand in this affair. In other words, she wanted to teach the woman, teach the men, that they should not force their daughters. As for her case, she's okay with it. She's okay with it. And that's why when a person gets married, the Prophet ﷺ said, تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ. Marry al-wadud means those whom you love, those that you love, and those that can have a lot of children. So because I will boast on the day of judgment, because of the amount, of the numbers of my ummah, on the day of judgment. And so the Prophet ﷺ gave us, you know, this. He said, marry somebody that you love, that you have the desire for, that you want. Otherwise, there's going to be friction. And so, when a person, when your children come to you, ask you, or should you get married, should you want to get married yet or not? The first thing that has to be looked at first is how this all came about. And look at the people when you try to determine a person's, you know, whether you should marry your children off or should you marry the other person off or not. When you make your decision should not be based solely on emotions. It should not be based solely on emotions. It should be based on what the pretexts are in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the first thing that a person has to do is, of course, to consult with the people of who the other person is and how they are, and base the decision on Islamic grounds, and not base the decision on any other thing, on other factors so much. But the first thing that you should base on is Islamic grounds. And how do you get this knowledge? Well, you have to consult people who have knowledge about Islam. So even in this matter, of course, the families should come together. But a lot of people forget, in every circumstance, in the different circumstances, to consult the people of knowledge. To consult the people of knowledge. When you consult people of knowledge, and experience, they will give you how to act and how to behave according to what is appropriate, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, and not based on emotions. And this also is with even after marriage. So before marriage and after marriage, a lot of times when people have problems, they go straight to their closest friends and they ask for this and that without asking the people of knowledge. During the time of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim used to visit. He used to visit his son Ismail in Mecca. After he left Hajar and his son, his wife and his son in Mecca, Prophet Ismail got married. When Prophet Ibrahim came to visit him, he wasn't home. So, because Prophet Ismail was not home, Prophet Ibrahim came and found out that his son had married a woman from the tribes that settled there, from the tribe of Jurhum. And she was asked by the father. She was asked by the father. How is life. I mean, the father-in-law, but she doesn't know it's the father-in-law. This is Prophet Ibrahim. How's life? And so she started complaining about the difficulties of life in Mecca and about the difficulties she was having. And so Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, when your son, your husband comes back, give him my salams. Now she doesn't know that this is her father-in-law. Give him my salams and tell him to change his doorstep, atabat al-bab, the threshold on the door. Tell him to change that. She doesn't understand. So he goes back to Asham. When her husband comes back, Prophet Ismail realizes somebody probably had visited. He sensed something and he asked his wife. His wife had forgotten to tell him. So she says, oh yes, somebody did come. And he told me to change. He told me to change my... He told me to change... he told me to tell you to change your doorstep. And he gives you his salams. And so Prophet Ismail, he understood. He said, that's my father. He has advised me to divorce you. And so he divorced his wife according to the orders of his father, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Divorced his wife. When his father told him to divorce his wife, he divorced his wife. Also, the next time he came, she, of course, he got married to somebody else and she didn't complain. So he said, you know, of course, the whole, after everything happened, just to shorten the story, he said, he advised him to keep her. He advised him to keep her. Now, why did he advise his wife, why did he advise his son to divorce his wife? The reason is because she did not have good qualities. She did not have good qualities. Because she was complaining all the time. And not only was she was complaining to a stranger about the difficulties that they had at home. So Prophet Ibrahim noticed that and right away he said, you know, this is not somebody who's appropriate for my son. So he ordered indirectly, she didn't realize, she got the message of her, she was the one, the messenger who brought the order of the divorce without even realizing it. But the reason is because she was complaining and this is a very, very bad characteristic. If you have problems in the house, don't go complaining to others. If you try to take care of it within the confines of the house first, and if you have any problems, then go to the people of knowledge. Because if you start complaining to people, your friends sometimes, if you go to your friends might say, oh, your wife is like that. If my wife was like that, oh, I wouldn't even be. I'd be gone a long time ago. What you doing staying there? Right? You know, with her. She's like that. See, he's going to give you his decision, or he's going to give you his suggestion, advice, based on emotions. And if a woman comes and she's complaining to her friends, most of the time they don't know the whole story, or they don't have any feelings towards each other. Of course, they don't have that bond. And so they're going to say, oh, sister, what sister, you? Why are you still staying with her? Wait, if that was me, I'd be gone a long time ago. He can't be treating you like that, your sister. Right? Why are you taking that from him? So you see that the advice is always based on emotions. And you're not going to get anywhere. It causes more problems in the household. So, in the moral of the story is, the children, should they listen to their parents? Of course, first of all, they should listen to their parents. But the parents also should realize that if somebody has come to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage, and they have the characteristics, the correct characteristics, then you should allow they have the deen, the character, then you should allow your daughters to get married to that person. To get married to that person. Because those are the things that are important. Because if you marry your daughters, like Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he said, when he was asked, who should I marry my daughter to by somebody, by the person who came to him. And he said, marry your daughters off to somebody who has deen. Because even if they don't love them, they won't oppress them. And if they love them, then they will honor them like nobody else can. So marry your daughters off to the people who have deen. And also the sisters and the brothers who want to get married, they should always consult and listen to their parents also at the same time. And if there's any problem between that, then you should consult the people of knowledge and try to discuss it with each other. And then pray istikhara, or you pray istikhara and consult. And then make your decision after that. And so, when during the time, remember I spoke about the father ordering, Prophet Ibrahim ordered his son to get married, to divorce. So if the father orders his daughter to divorce or not to get married, or his son, should he listen to his father, to the father? Of course, this is after marriage. After marriage is even greater already. So you have to look at, first of all, it's not permissible for a woman to get married to somebody without the permission of her father, of the wali, or the wali that she has. She can't go off, because I know some people who, they don't have a wali, or they do have a wali, sorry, and they go off and they go to another imam, and the imam marries them off, because their parents refuse to marry them off. And so they go to somebody else. You can't jump to the next wali. If the father is there, you can't go to the brothers, and you can't go to the uncles and so forth, unless he gives the wakala, he gives the permission to do so. At the same time, as parents, you know, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar ibn Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he had married somebody that his father Umar ibn Khattab did not like. And so his father Umar ibn Khattab ordered his son Abdullah ibn Umar to divorce his wife. And so Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, listen to what he did. Okay? Did he go to the people? Did he go to his friends? He spoke to his parents. Did he go to his other relatives? No. He went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Obey your father and divorce your wife. Obey your father and divorce your wife." Now, the same thing happened during the time of Abu Dharr also. Another thing, and the same thing happened to Abu Dharr. During the time, not to Abu Dharr, somebody came to Abu Dharr. And also during the time of Imam Ahmad. During the time of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, a man came. Imam Ahmad is a great muhaddith. He memorized a million hadith. Like we memorize, he said, "I memorized a million hadith. Like you guys memorize Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad." With the chains, of course. Million hadith. Like you memorize Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Now, he knows this hadith. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. And his students know the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu about the case with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi and his father. A man came and said, "Oh, Imam, my father has ordered me to divorce my wife. What should I do?" Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he said, "Keep your wife. Don't listen to your father." So, subhanAllah. So his students, Imam Ahmad's students, they're wondering, "Whoa, wait, how can he give a fatwa that's totally contradictory to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar? This is opposite what the Prophet told Abdullah Umar to do." Now he's telling him now to don't listen to your father, just keep your wife. Stay together. Now what's the difference here? When his students ask him, how could you give such a fatwa? His students, when they ask Imam Ahmad what did he say? He said, if his father was Umar ibn Khattab, yeah, I would have told him the same thing. If his father was Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, I would have told him the same thing. What does that mean? What did Imam Ahmad know? Imam Ahmad, he was a faqih also. He knew the hadith, but he understood the hadith and where to apply it. In the case of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab is not going to tell his son to divorce his wife based on tribal reasons, based on the dunya, worldly affairs. He's going to tell him based on what's best for his son in this life and the hereafter, in according to the deen, according to Islam. So in that case, yes. But if it's not in that case, if it's not because of that, sometimes there is a very good sister that is very pious maybe. But she's not from the same tribe. She's not from the same culture. And so you say, no, you can't marry them. Do you know what their great-great-great-great-grandfather did in the desert? SubhanAllah. Now you're telling the whole stories. You know, like this tribe and so forth. Because of that, no, we don't marry from this tribe and that tribe. Right? We don't marry from this and that because of this. Or this is a new Muslim. No, you can't marry new Muslims. Or this is this and that, but they might have very good, you know, akhlaq and so forth. So, if one of the best ways to decide, be, you know, first of all, have trust. Trust your parents, and your parents and the parents also should also show respect also for their children, in a sense that when something like this happens, they consult with each other, and then consult the people of knowledge. In this particular case, what is the best? After knowing this person and knowing that person and what has gone about and what's happened, then try to consult. One of the most important things is to consult the people of knowledge. And that's what others have left out. And this happened a lot during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why during the time of the Messenger, some of the women would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One in Sahabiyya, Fatima bint Qais, she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "O Messenger of Allah, this person, that person," she mentioned Abu Jahm, then she mentioned also Muawiyah, and also Usama, who should I get married to? And she said, "These people have come forward to ask me to get married. Who should I get married to?" Notice that she, even to choose who she to get married to, the companions used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Used to come to the people of knowledge so that they can give the correct advice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as for Muawiyah, he is su'lukun la mala lah. He says he's just a poor guy, destitute, doesn't have any wealth. And as for Abu Jahm, he doesn't leave the asha. He doesn't drop his stick from his hand, his shoulder. In two cases, either he always hits people, or he's always traveling. You know, when you travel, you're always tying. So you're not going to be alone with him. So marry Usama. Notice three people came to the Prophet. Three people had asked her for her hand in marriage. And it's, in this case, of course, this is permissible. Then this gets permissible because she has not agreed to any one of them. So as long as she hasn't agreed to anyone, another person can come and ask. Another person can come and ask for her hand in marriage. If she hasn't said yes to any of them yet, she still has the options. But if there's already an agreement, there's all, you know, after that, then you, of course, you don't come in the way after there's an agreement to get married already. That's not permissible Islamically. But if there's no agreement yet, so in this case, look, three people came to ask for her hand in marriage, but she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to help her make the decision. So you come to the people of knowledge, because every case you can't give a blanket statement, blanket case. Okay, all the youth, they should get married right now, and then you come, and then after that they get divorced, because a lot of times they make their decisions out of they feel like they're in love. And it's all lust. And you know what? Somebody might come and say, "Oh, this person has these bad qualities," but they'll close. They'll have a blind eye about concerning that. They'll cover that up because they want to get married to that person so badly. And vice versa with both the brothers and the sisters. And so, it starts off from the beginning when making this decision. The decision, when it's made, sometimes, as I mentioned, sometimes the children, they don't want to listen. So you have to give them, you know, you have to make them also, you have to have the connection with them so that they can trust you, the children. And of course, it starts from the very beginning to raise them up properly with Islamic manners and culture, and culture from the very beginning. Especially in the society when it's very difficult. When not only are they being, not only is everybody, you know, all the society against them, but everything else is calling for haram. So the first thing that a youth growing up in the society is, they have to have iffah, chastity. You have to learn that chastity is chastity is something that is a part of Islam, and shyness, and that patience is very important also. Most people, they think, okay, if I'm not going to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, I'm not going to communicate with this person, that person, then who am I going to get married? Who am I going to get married? Have fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And have trust, put your trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never make your actions go to waste. إِنَّهُ مَن يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whoever has taqwa and is patient, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never make your deeds or actions go to waste. And that's why when you're looking for somebody, when you're looking for a person, you have to understand that if that person, whether it's the brother or sister, is communicating with you and stuff like that, and doing that, maybe they are not trustworthy enough. So maybe after, if they're talking to you and so behind your back, behind your parents' back and so forth, maybe they're not trustworthy enough. Why? Because the characteristics that we should be looking for is like the characteristics in which the wife or the father, the prophets and messengers, are also looked for. Like the wife of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. What did she say? How did she describe Prophet Musa alayhi salam? Inna khayra man istajarta al-qawi al-amin. The person that's strong is able to be, and also amin, is trustworthy. And be, you know, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with the sisters and with the brothers. Do things correctly. Because if you do it correctly, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen the bonds after marriage. Because a lot of times in this society, you have these dates that people go on. And they already know each other and they have dates. Once they get married, then all the fun stops. And then the nightmare begins, right, for them. Because it's over. But as Muslims, marriage is the beginning in which you start to build that love. And the love strengthens with that. But at the same time, you also have to realize that when you have somebody who has the characteristics, the best, of course, you marry a woman, because people marry a woman because of her beauty, because of her wealth, because of her status, and of course because of her religion. Of course, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to look for the one with deen. Why? Because when the person has deen, both women and men and women, your children will, first of all, be raised up properly. Because the most important aspect of raising the children is picking the right mother. So it starts off with that. And that's why one of the mashayikh, he was approached by a man, and the man came and he said, "Sheikh, what can I do? His son is 1 year old, just one
Here, he's 1 year old only. And the sheikh's son, mashallah, he's very he looks at him, he sees him. Wow, your son is really, really good. You know, I want my son to be like that. What can I do to have him be such a good, have him to be such a good son? And so he came, the sheikh told him, it's too late. It's already too late. He was only 1 year old. He said, it's too late for you. And the brother said, what are you talking about? He's only 1 year old. He said, it starts off with choosing the right mother. It starts off with choosing the right mother. You should have come to ask me before that. This is the most important decision in raising the child is before you choose the mother, you choose the correct mother, because she's the one that's going to be with him most of the time. So it's a very important decision. So before you make that decision, you look at her. Do you think she's going to be a good mother? Now, just because she's beautiful is not going to make her a good mother. I mean, it doesn't mean all, you know, beautiful mothers can't raise not good children, but that's not a quality if you want nice children also. And so as parents also, you should look at the people. Are they going to be good fathers? Are they going to be supporting fathers? They're going to take full responsibility. Qawi and Amin in a man. And then for a woman, is she going to have that chastity, that the amana also, and the helpfulness in taking care of the children also? And so the advice of the main advice here, I would like to, you know, there are a lot of steps, of course, that should be taken, but every single case you should ask the people of knowledge concerning the specific cases, because there are so many different cases that might happen. And so you can't say that, okay, this person should get married or this person should not get married. But in general, just try to seek the advice of the people of knowledge. And as for those who want to get married and they're not able to get married, then try to be patient and be strong and be patient. And know that in the end, sometimes you might not be, your parents might not agree with you. And they might say, you know, you shouldn't get married to this person or that person. Just be patient. Because in the obedience of your parents, there's a lot of barakah. There's blessing. You don't want to disobey your parents and try. You think that this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. You say it's a sunnah to get married, right? But obedience of the father is obligatory. Obedience of your mother is obligatory. It's mandatory. And so you should try to do your very best to try to reconciliate. At the same time, the parents are not allowed to force their children to get married with those whom they don't want to get married to. And so you shouldn't force your children to get married with those whom they don't want to get married to. At the same time, the brothers and sisters who do want to get married, they should be patient and put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look for the best person. And maybe the best person isn't the one that you're communicating with right now. Because if they were really, really good, maybe they wouldn't be calling on the phone every night. Or maybe they wouldn't be texting you. If they are willing to text you right now, maybe after they get married, they're going to be texting other people too. Also. So the real good ones, you ask, how do you get married then? You ask your sisters. Go ask your sisters. Ask your mothers, ask your aunties, and ask them, who are the people who are really good in deen that would make really good wives? And then when they tell you such and such person is really good, and you consult, and then after that, you be brave. Don't go around the back door. You speak to your parents, right? And then you go to the father. If you go to the right door, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in it. And do it the right way. Because if you start going around the back door, then if you're trying to make something halal, when it's haram, when it actually becomes halal, you're not going to enjoy it. Allah subhanahu will take the barakah away. And so, also, there are other, of course, you know, other obstacles also. As Muslims, we should help those to get help people who need to get married whenever they're able to. And this is something that is recommended for all of us. And it's at the community as a whole, and the people as a whole should help out also with that. And, you know, as I mentioned, should a person get married or not get married, this is for every family, for every person, they have different circumstances. But in general, look for the people who have deen, and look for the people, of course, who have knowledge and have that zeal for knowledge, that desire for knowledge. Sometimes you might have somebody, you might see a sister, and you might see that she might not be, she might not be in a situation where she's not, she doesn't have everything. But if she has the desire to learn, to seek knowledge, and to want to have knowledge, then that's something that's a sign that person is good. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for him, and then he makes him learn this deen. So that desire to learn deen is an indication that Allah wants goodness for that person. That person has some goodness in them. It's not because they're rich. Because Allah gives money to non-Muslims and who are very rich, very wealthy. But doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. So look for the indicators that Allah loves that person. If Allah loves that person, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that person has a good heart. So you look at those indicators, and then inshallah, if your daughters or sons come forward, usually the sons and come forward, they're asking somebody, look for those indicators. Does that person have that desire to seek knowledge? Do they want? And if they do, inshallah, those are the things that will help us bring forward. So I hope this gives us a little bit of light to, you know, go forward when some of these things occur. And I know this is a difficult case, difficult situation, especially in our communities. But try to, in order for us to apply the Qur'an and the Sunnah correctly, then we have to ask and seek consultation. Seeking consultation, al-istishara and istikhara. That's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا نَدِيمَ مَنْ اِسْتَشَارَ وَاسْتَخَارَ. Nobody ever regrets when they consult and they pray istikhara. So for every decision, if you need to do something, consult with the people. And the people who you should consult with are the people of knowledge. And if you consult and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with istikhara, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, then inshallah you will not regret. You will not regret whether you should get married now or you should get married later. Should you finish or not? Or should you not finish yet? And so, inshallah, I hope that sheds a little bit of light on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from that which we have learned and to teach us that which benefits us. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.